reflecting the love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I enter into the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Pahipara, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the context of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this repetition, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyapi, tatyapi, saha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, and the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are accused and suffering. Impending suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. Impending suffering is not more important than anything. We will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Well, we just completed a retreat here at the monastery, the fear retreat.
Mm-hmm. And transcending fear.
Transcending fear, yeah. Transcending fear. And it's fun to have the privilege of serving in the retreats. I wasn't in most of the things except for at night. And to feel like I transcended fear. You know, like that I got transformed right along with the energy just rushing through.
I was looking at that too, that we got to participate in the last group yesterday as the retreat was ending, and I was saying to my dyad partner that it really is clear that there's just the work of the retreat, right? And the work of the retreat is the outhouses and the bathrooms and the carrots and the lettuce and the garden and the and what's going on in the retreat room.
Yes. Right? And yeah, everyone's so playing their role.
Everyone's playing their role. And we truly all benefit from all of that.
Yeah,
all
truly
right?
Benefit.
So we get to be in there chopping the carrots.
Yeah.
And then everyone comes to lunch. Yeah. Right? And then they're in here doing the hard work of the retreat. And then we come to evening group.
Yeah.
And just get the harvest of everything that happened all day.
That's what it felt like, getting the harvest that happened all day. Those evening groups were amazing. And there was one that, one conversation, well, actually a lot. I was thinking, you know how we sometimes are, we used to, I guess, we don't put them on CDs anymore, we put them on zip drives. But like certain groups or Sherry and the Schwinney talks, there were a couple of those night groups. I'm like, that should be on a, you know, put it out to
published.
Yeah, you can get it on Keep It Simple.
Yeah. Of course, we don't want to give away the retreat, though.
That's true.
It's a little
that's
tricky.
True. Yeah, you can do that again. But there was one conversation that I was looking at that was really helpful. Somebody was talking about, I think they were talking about aging and just the commentary about that. And one of Sherry's responses was, so kind of like being picked on about that or something. Mm-hmm. I think this is what I took from it. And she was saying, talking about the perfection of life. And the arrogance of a system to go around picking at.
Yeah, I think this might have been a mistake, and that's a mistake, and this is a.
We should be different.
Should be different.
And I don't know why, but that just whammo.
Yeah.
You know, that there's the only way, I mean, the only thing that could have that perspective would have to be outside of life.
Yes. Or believe that it is.
Believe that it is.
To stand aside and. Just with that incredibly sort of nonchalant arrogance, right? Well, I mean, this isn't so good, and that's not great, and you really need to.
And that needs to be fixed. And,
right, and and that place of, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And
I know better than life.
Right, right. Yeah, and the way, of course, the guide said it was just, I just took it as completely non-judgmental, just sort of stating what was going on, which was helpful because hearing something like in the arrogance of that, I could get identified with, oh yeah, that's really arrogant of me to be too.
Which is exactly the same process.
It's exactly the same process.
Yeah.
And so I've just been trying that on, you know, every time that comes up. Mm-hmm. And it's just a movement to that much larger picture of, well, how could this be wrong? It's here.
Exactly.
So, like, for example, I was looking in the, I was doing something with my hair, and it started in about, wow, the eyebrows are, like, falling over your eyes. And look at that, you know, beard hair. It's like, how did, you know, that thing is gray and really long. How did that, you know? Mm-hmm. And just what has to be perfect.
Yeah.
So I just started looking at it and looked at the gray hair. That I'm like, wow, that's amazing. How did you go twice as fast as all the other hairs? Wow, what an energetic way to go, you know? And just like the fascination that, like for instance, too, I love this time of year, the flowers, like the freshness right in the buds. But I've been noticing that there's a focus on newness and clean and tight and fresh. And so then there seems to be a not so much of an attraction to the aging process, which is wrinkly and not as fresh.
So kind of a couple days after it's bloomed, it's like, well, it's well.
Well, that's what I've been looking at with the flowers, that there's like a passing by. And just like Scott gets passed by,
he's finished.
And just in both cases, just like, wow, how beautiful. Yeah. And taking pictures of the flowers that are passing, that are wilting. Because really, that's just as beautiful as the flower that's blooming.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, we don't know, right? But easy to project that the flower is having that like experience of, right? Yeah. Really seeing the beauty of all of it, and that it's not, you know, noticing that there's that draw to kind of the freshness and the cleanness and the new and the, but realizing, being able to experience and see the beauty in all of it.
And then in that place of, you know, for example, the aging, well, what's life offering through this process? I mean, again, this is happening, this is perfect, it's here.
Yep.
So what is it? What is it? What's here for me around this? You know, and it seems like the answer often is some sort of letting go. I guess what I've been talking about, letting go of the conversation, letting go of those beliefs and assumptions, letting go of that filter. And this is another concrete way to assist me in that, letting go of everything that's impermanent, letting go of everything that's not real. You know, we talk a lot about everything that's not unconditional love. And in that place, it's just like, wow, thank you. You know, rather than, okay, how do I change this? How do I stop this? Well, what about this? And I mean, you could really see the energy difference in those two processes.
The energy difference in kind of that first one of fixing and improving and assessing and that sort of thing. And really seeing that, gosh, this is what's here. It's what's happening. And so there must be a gift in it. And so looking at that and realizing that the gift is just to be with all of it. You said, you know, and I think this came up in that discussion that you're referring to, that maybe that's our best opportunity for unconditional love.
And then that reference to that place brings me right back to the perfection. And again, because I've had that experience over and over again, I think it should go this way, or even in a practice way, just I'm likely not in the largest perspective. And it's just so enjoyable to surrender the perspective that I'm in and see whatever else might be offered.
To surrender the perspective that I'm in to see what might else be offered.
Wow, I just saw something in that that I don't even know if it can be articulated, but the whole thing about aging and this shouldn't be happening, I just saw I just saw it from a really much bigger perspective of from the perspective of that which never ages. And I could just see for a moment, wow, it was just a release. It was like, there's that which animates us that never ever changes, never ages. And that falling away, that you know, that change, it's so immaterial.
Yeah.
It's just so immaterial. It's just it's just something to observe and honor.
Yeah.
And the whole time, you know, just knowing that you don't, it's not you.
Yeah.
It's not, there is not. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the suffering is when I identify with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's me.
Yeah.
But stepping back and seeing that, you know, just like the flower, we do this time of year is so perfect because if we're looking around us at all, we're seeing it by the hundreds, the thousands, and some of those cycles are short, 24 hours, from the bud to the flower to the not the flower anymore, right?
Yeah.
And so to see that, sort of to identify, if you will, with that which doesn't age in that way, and not take personally this form that we're in, that does it, is subject to that process.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of just an awesome glimpse of wow. You know, that it just every time I look in the mirror and think, God, well, maybe that's going to come back next week. You know, but it's not. And then there's that
that show.
Thank you for the opportunity to have this expression of life in its many forms.
Yes.
And I don't need to cling to any of it.
You know, I think we've mentioned it a few times, and certainly I have, but that it feels like we're in that workshop with our pets. With our dogs, right? Because I look at that with Sadie, that she cannot no longer hear very much, if at all. And to realize, I had that same realization, I think you're saying, is that's not going to reverse.
Yeah.
That's not going to go in the other direction. And so just that deepening love and the changing relationship with, it changes.
Yeah.
We're changing.
Yeah.
They're changing fast. Yeah. You know, so that place, that opportunity to not identify with that impermanence, but rather to have that be an opportunity to deepen the awe of it and the unconditional love of it.
Yeah. 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 So, what a gift. And there's just one other thing I've been looking at too, and that is the year long retreat, the assignment, you know, what book or song or movie would describe your life. I had this most interesting experience with that, and actually other people described similar. When the question was posed, I felt. A movie coming to me, but I couldn't. It's like, it's kind of like one of those things in the mist. Like something, you know.
You can kind of see there's something there, but
something that wants to come, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it did, and it was just it was a mystery to me because it was not a very happy movie, and. In fact, I didn't even remember the movie or what it was. Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. I don't even remember that movie stuff. And why did it want to just like, it was just kind of coming up. So it's just like, that whole process is just curious to me. What is that that just kind of, informs through beyond the mind, I just find it really interesting, and what the place that I strive to live you know,
exactly.
of just letting life
yes.
provide the information.
Yes, in whatever form it does.
In whatever,
right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
in comes the, is there a movie that depicts your life, and kind of that sense of there's something back there,
yes.
I can't quite
yes.
see it.
Yes.
But it sounds like, if I'm tracking what you're saying, kind of just a trusting the,
yes.
you know, waiting for it to emerge, and then it does.
Yes.
And the logical mind can't make sense of
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, and then there's that, you know, trying to go, what does that mean, you know, and what, you know, and why, and,
yes.
you know, what was all of that about?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And just like so many things is, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Exactly. that it's kind of, that's the overarching thing that I get to
uh-huh.
see.
Uh-huh.
Maybe at some point it will drop in what this Sophie's Choice thing is about. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the overarching process is getting to trust that experience and not needing to know
yeah.
what it's about, not needing to figure out why the, or be in charge of that whole process.
Yeah, and I just saw this really strong attachment to, mm-hmm. of course, the book or movie to describe my life has to be something really happy,
uh-huh.
you know, it has to be a certain, you know, genre, and it has to be,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's going back to the acceptance or the,
yeah.
you know, it just has to look a certain way.
Yes, and I'll be in charge of that.
And I'll be in charge of that. And I'm gonna have, like, the best movie. You know, my life is going to be
it's
the
gonna
best.
It's going to be Oscar winner.
It's going to be Oscar winner.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know, that movie might have won some Oscars,
yeah.
but, you know, it wasn't like, ooh. So yeah,
that
was just kind of, there's a lot to see in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't quite know how to articulate, but what was dropping in as you were saying that is, and the assumption that, again, I don't either, I'm not even sure I know what that movie was about, but I'm not sure I ever even saw it. but the assumption that it wasn't happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, just in that sense of, yeah, we don't know. Like, if you were to watch
yeah.
that,
yeah.
what does it evoke?
Yeah.
Where does it take you?
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
the idea, the subject matter
uh-huh.
is terrible. And
yeah.
It's not what I want for the movie of my life.
Yeah.
And, but to be in the actual experience, it's sort of like we talk about when someone goes through something really hard in their life,
uh-huh.
and, you know, this happened or that happened, and it's like, was that happy? Was
mm-hmm.
that a happy thing to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, not if we go to that kind of idea of what's happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm actually in the experience of it, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating to me because, you know, content-wise, I know the movie is about two children that she had to decide which one lived and which one died, and
mm-hmm.
I lost a child. Not through death, but through them. And so it's just fascinating to me that you know, there was a lot for me in that, just in that image of, you know, that you can be in a situation where things happen that you don't have any control.
No control.
No control.
Wouldn't choose.
The choice is forced that you have no.
Yes.
That goes against your heart.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, truly wow.
Wow.
I mean, it gives me goosebumps. It's back to the, is what's here an extraordinary opportunity for unconditional love?
Yeah.
And we choose unconditional love here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, I've just lately been really, you know, it comes up, that situation comes, you know, it's like any grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
It's present and then it fades, and present and then it fades.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been going through a period of it being more present. And so
mm-hmm.
I just love how life just
mm-hmm.
reaches through and just blends.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you're being heard, and, you know, you might look at this.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of that place that we've been referring to a little bit lately, of that when we don't try to go around something like that,
mm-hmm.
But we see it as that invitation, that portal through to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes, there's been so much about that lately. You know, we've been talking just about turning to face it.
Yes.
Turning to face it rather than, you know, like, you know, that's an ancient thing. This is not happening. And I'm sure that next week it's going to, you know, it's going to turn around and be different.
Well, as soon as I'll be the right person, this will stop happening.
Exactly. You know, and it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
No.
And and so, wow. So more is revealed in that continually.
Yes, truly, truly. You know, and I don't know about you, Square, but I was, you know, when there are things like that that are so, they just bring up kind of that deep karmic stuff, that sense of turning to look right at it, for me, there's almost like a, it kind of takes my breath away.
Yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah.
But it's so, in a way, it's exquisite and intimate.
Yeah.
That invitation to just sit there.
There.
Just be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I just realized, too, in an earlier exercise in that same book, there was what you have the courage to let go. What was it to let go?
What was it? It was so good. The one that was like,
yeah.
Muster all your courage.
I
now give myself permission to.
Yes. And it was. One of the ones was to just. To let go of that.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. Thank you. Cameron.
This is an interesting discussion. I'm pretty deep into the workshop on aging. And I'm experiencing that it's just so, life is so perfect. Perfectly set up, because as was just discussed, the only way to kind of get through to the end of life and be happy and be present is there's basically a requirement to access that which does not age. In order,
a great point.
It's like,
because otherwise it's going to be rot.
These points in life where it just comes up, and here it is.
Yep.
And you're either going to suffer,
yep.
by hanging on to what you think you want,
yep.
or you're going to let that go and be with what is. It's just so
and receive what you have.
And receive what you have.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of benefits of aging, you know, the kind of a over the experience of your life, there's more wisdom, there's more kindness, there's more of a lot of things that you've always wanted, and you have it, and you know, the body's doing some things it didn't used to, and it'd be nice if it wasn't, but it is, like everybody's the same, it is. And that's the beauty of it.
It really is.
The absolute gift.
Yeah. The absolute gift to them, because when you were saying that, Karen, what I saw was, because then when we take that step back, that's the invitation, is to take that step back, and instead of to be this person or identify, as we were looking at with Sequoia, identify with that, you know, that impermanence, to step back and take exquisite care of.
Yeah.
And what an amazing way to live, to be taking exquisite care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that I can see developing, because, you know, coming more from a place of deprivation earlier in my life, she didn't get much.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough.
And
so, we can't give that for her, or we can't do that for her.
Yeah.
But now,
we're gonna.
I found myself in a position last night, yesterday evening, where I just made a very wild choice to spend a fairly large for this person sum of money on something to take care of this person. Mm. It wasn't anything I thought through. It's nothing I went to the internet and even explored. And you know how you research to see. The person was telling me about it. The energy of the person and the interaction between the two of us just felt right. And so I said to the person, well, that's a lot for me right now all at once. Is there any way we could, you know, half now and half later? Absolutely, she said. I wouldn't want money to hold you back from having this. And so we had this beautiful kind of exchange. And I went off with this thing. I have no idea what it's going to do for me, although she did try it on me and on a part of my body that has been very restricted. And I was very surprised that I had greater range of motion after just a few minutes of this. So the whole thing was just out of the box.
Right, exactly. The process is so different
so
from what
different.
Would normally be there.
Yeah.
Let me make sure. I got to check it out.
Right from the beginning.
That's it.
You get out the whatever the ledger is for what money is available.
Yeah.
You don't have it.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
Yeah.
And I would normally never ask somebody like that for some kind of different way of doing it. I mean, the whole thing was like a big surprise. And here I go, my little thing.
So different.
Yeah. And so it makes it fun, too.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you're surprised by your own self.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I hear in that is kind of like just letting life live through us.
Exactly.
Right? So we're so, normally, we're, and I think Sherry made this point in the retreat, too. That is what's always happening. All the time. It's just that we don't always get to experience it in the way you got to experience it.
Yeah.
Right? Because the mind is up here doing its second guessing. We're always being taken care of perfectly.
It's always happening. Offering us something.
But how fun when we get to actually experience it.
Yeah.
Be there for it.
Yeah, and have it not even feel like I did it. Life just took charge. So, not too bad, me getting older.
Lots of good.
Lots of good.
A lot of parallelism going on. a lot of stories every day going through my mind about being older, and lots of emotional reaction to it, and a lot of separation, very little kindness or unconditional love, very little of that, when it's really ramped up. And that women dipping in and out of awareness of what's being done. And
of what's being done internally to you.
And going right back into it. And then, of course, getting just beaten bloody for that. What you said about going through it, and now there's no choice. There's no backing up. So I'm having that experience that I have almost every Sunday of exactly what the discussion is, being exactly what's going on with me.
Love that.
You know, and I see lots of threads that have run through my life ever since I became aware that we are awareness and we can do that. it's been, I've been aware that nothing about this body or this mind has been acceptable to that which, to this, to yeah. voices,
yeah.
at all, ever.
Ever. Exactly. What a great point. That it will use whatever it can use that will really seem real to us.
Yeah.
So aging will seem real to you right now. So that's what it's using. But what a huge realization. It's always had something. This body, this person, everything about it mm-hmm. has never been acceptable to that voice. It's only using that content because that's what will seem real right now.
Yeah. And it does.
It does.
And another thread is comparing myself to others. Mm-hmm. And we all know someone who seems younger than all of us. And I'm sitting next to one of those people too, who seems very young. And so I'm aware that, you know, that comparison happens. So it revs up and triggers, and fortunately, you know, back to some bigger perspective. So then we come, let's see, so the next, then it wants to pull, what would say next one? Well, it just keeps on. It has an endless supply.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It has an endless supply, which is why it's so key. The fundamental thing we do in practice is we're learning to direct attention. Because, at least for me, what I hear you saying, there's that place where, as it puts forward whatever the voice, as it puts forward whatever it's putting forward, okay, let me work through that. Okay, let me fix that. Okay, let me... And sometimes it's literally on the content level. Sometimes we get identified with that level, like, okay, if I could just exercise more. Okay, if I could just, you know, whatever it is. Or it can also be on the process level. Okay, so that's going on. Okay, let me address that. Okay, this is my... Okay, let me address that. But then there's that larger step back where we step into unconditional love. We step into a place of care. We step into, no, I'm not going to let comparison happen with this person and other people. You know, we step into that place of realizing that voice will never, ever, ever be, I'll never get to a place where that voice will not be on me. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of just in the last while, since I've been in this neat workshop mm-hmm. that I've been talking about, it's pretty relentless. And so I live in a lot of resistance to that relentlessness, mm-hmm. and not liking the way I feel. Not liking how things are, not liking this other workshop, this internal workshop. Mm-hmm. Okay, I hadn't quite put that together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Putting together the seeing all the not liking that's happening. Mm-hmm. And how that's such a trap.
Yeah. If you don't like, I mean, you have to not like it or you'll stay stuck in it.
Unknown to believe. Yeah. Wow. Gosh, you have to not like it or you'll stay stuck in it. Yeah. Which robs us of our opportunity of that process we're talking about, which is just being right with it. Because again, if we go to an image of being someone that we care about, someone we love unconditionally, you know, a friend, a relative, whoever that might be, and they're going through something like that, you know, gosh, this new thing's happening, are we going to say things to them like, well, it's because you're getting old and you're, you know, you're doing this and you're not. I mean, look at your neighbor. I mean, why can't you be like that? I mean, because that would be...
My mind just went about 50 other things beyond that. Yeah. So So say again what you said, just be as it is.
So again, if we continue that image of I'm with someone that I care about, I love unconditionally, you know, I'm, for me at least, it's never about them. So someone has a knee injury, someone I love has a knee injury. I'm not in my mind, the way I would do with myself or ego would do with me, in my mind I'm not looking at, what are they doing wrong? What's making that happen? That's not going to be my approach. Mm-hmm. My approach is going to be, how can I help? How can I support you? Because it's no fun to have a knee thing going on. It's no fun to be in pain. But I'm also not going to have the idea that I can fix this for you and we can make it better and we can, you know, it's like how I am with Sadie. You know? So this is what's happening with her. And so how am I loving her now? Mm-hmm. How am I being with her now? Like, one thing is, I have to be really careful how I approach her. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't know I'm coming. Mm-hmm. And she sleeps so soundly that I have to be really quiet and gentle and just touch her. Because she'll do that and kind of look at me like, who are you? Where are we? Mm-hmm. And it's this place of, instead of going to a place of, I'm losing this dog that I know, can I go to a place of, this is the workshop that I'm in, what is the love now? What is that relationship now? And I think it's what Sequoia was talking about, with that when we have the opportunity to disidentify from this body that's doing these things that it's just doing, and having that, like Scott was talking about, having kind of that, well, this one's not as good as that one, and that one's doing a better job than this one is, but stepping back and just caring for it, you know, loving it, being with it.
Okay.
You know, because
that sounds a lot better than
the other thing is, I mean, we don't do this around here, but you know that, I think it's AA that talks about don't judge your insides by other people's outsides, right? So here I am projecting onto this person, wow, they're so young and they're da-da-da. And then meanwhile, what I have no idea is what other people are projecting onto me. Gosh, she's so this, and she's like, how does she do that? And she's like, and she has this. We don't know that, right? We don't see that. Because what, the way we're looking at all of these folks around us is through those eyes of appreciation and those, you know, those, that, the eyes of love. And the way this person is so often looked at is through that eye of criticism and comparison and judgment. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca. Yeah, a couple of things. First, I want to, that what you said about Sadie, I've noticed that too, and the way I approach her is the same way. Mm-hmm. And I've also noticed a similar thing with Kache, that, not the hearing, but it was what a point Sherry made in the retreat about often the way we're invited to participate in love is humbler than ego's ideas of what we would be.
Yeah.
And I went to, the very next morning, it dropped in that that's, so every morning, I mean, I give Pache a sort of a rub down because you can just, I mean, you can just easy to reject that he kind of hurts, you know, his hips in it. I mean, I have to be running really late to miss the morning rub down with Pache, you know, because we both enjoy it so much apparently. And I never really know. It's like Karen with the snake. You know, we don't know if what we're doing is helpful or not.
Yeah.
But being in that place of loving him and getting to, you know, all of that, it just feels so authentic and true.
Uh-huh.
And I'm grateful. It's like God, life gave me the gift of having Pache at this time in his life and all of that. It's like, oh, I need the Pache worksheet.
You're receiving that
as
you were, quote, giving it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Such a gift.
Yeah.
Well, and it ties in with what it feels like we're talking about this morning is something that I've been looking at of late, which is the bead of all formations are transient.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does find a little bit.
Yeah, and also the point that we've been mentioning periodically about talking from the experience rather than talking about the experience, that place. And I saw it in a really kind of powerful way. So I got some news a few weeks ago that my ex-husband is getting remarried. And we've been divorced for a long time, maybe almost 11 years. And there was this sort of thing of that was trying to get through that this just kind of bothers me. There's something here. There's something a little upsetting about this. And what was louder was, oh, my God, it's been 11 years. I'm fine. I'm so happy for him. Oh, I really hope it works. And then I, you know, can go into some other places. But as life unfolds so perfectly, that little niggling thing wouldn't go away. And what drops in is there was all formations are transient. And we never know, we never know when. I would have thought that had already passed, and turns out maybe not.
That whatever you, I don't know how you would describe it, but that process around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what, you know, if you put any word there, that sort of limits it maybe.
Yeah,
but
I guess grieving might be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that grieving process, you would have thought, well, that would have already happened. But apparently not.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to that theme we've been talking about this morning, that what I hear in it is sort of, it came up as this little niggling thing, and then this louder thing on top of that. But the niggling thing was still there, and the attention was subtle enough to continue to see it, and almost like, well, I don't want to miss that gift. That maybe going right through that, instead of allowing that louder voice to kind of go on top of it, that maybe there's a gift from you there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe there's a gift for me there, and the whole point besides that aside,
mm-hmm.
the whole point is not going with the louder thing. The whole point is going with that small, still, quiet, authentic whatever, and recognizing it as such, and not overriding it.
So the whole point is not letting that louder voice run over that, and to be able to really hear that quieter.
There was I've been reading Tolstoy's The Kingdom of Heaven, God is within you, or The Kingdom of Heaven is within you, I forget. And he tells this wonderful analogy or story of how what he's describing, which is very much this, what we're talking about, is just like when the office where people would come to, they would bring all the people to enroll them in the military. So you've got the big magistrates under the big life-size portrait of the czar, and you've got the priest in his cassock, and you've got, you know, everything, and these poor peasants kind of come in, and so they call in, you know, Ivan Nikov. And so he comes in, and Ivan's like, I'm a Christian. And so, and they go, what? What are you saying? You know, and he tries to say this, and doctor, measure him. Is he okay? And priest, you know, soothe him, console him, make him, you know. And the poor guy is trying to say, I can't serve because I'm a Christian, and serving in the military is against Christ. Don't tell us what's against Christ. You know, we know what's against Christ's teaching. So that whole thing, and then he gets called off, and then another guy comes called in, and what Tolstoy says is nobody is aware that what that poor guy was trying to say was the truth, and everything else was the lie.
Yeah. Wow. And it's so loud that everything else is so loud.
And I got clothed in. Yeah. And so all of my stuff, oh, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 11 years. I'm the one who initiated this. I divorced him.
Right.
Well, why would you? There would be, there's nothing here. There's nothing here to look at.
Back to the logical.
Uh-huh.
Why would you choose that movie?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of that seems so me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so. It can be couched in practice.
Mm-hmm.
It can be couched in logic. It
mm-hmm.
can be couched in good psychology.
Mm-hmm.
It can be couched in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even heard a voice couching it in good Catholic doctrine of, well, it was never a valid marriage in the eyes of the church because blah 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 blah. So, like it was couched in everything. Why
they tried at every angle.
Why this shouldn't be upsetting?
Yeah, yeah.
And if I were talking about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the attention goes.
Yeah.
But if I talk from the experience,
uh-huh.
then it's a quite different line.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then you get to actually have the experience.
Yeah.
And as you say, that really the miracle of having cultivated a practice where that small voice has a chance,
yeah.
where it actually can enter that room with all the majesty and the robes and that, but can still be heard.
Yes, and that's the power of, when you say the miracle of cultivating a practice, it's the miracle that's a facilitation too,
mm-hmm.
which is why we facilitate the way we do
mm-hmm.
hybrid, because, and there's only one teacher,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of us are facilitators,
mm-hmm.
because adding anything to that, it's so easy to project. We all sit here and try to put out the voice to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
We try to articulate it in groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the job of that facilitator is to meet it,
mm-hmm.
is to match it,
mm-hmm.
is to not add anything to it.
Uh-huh.
Because what we would bring to it is
yeah.
found to be, a little bit of that pomp and then that
mm-hmm.
is
so to help it be heard.
Yes, to help
yeah.
it be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's such a beauty of what we have here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And easy to project and own the projection,
yeah.
as you were pointing out.
Yeah. Yeah. Eleanor.
So the experience of being a part of the retreat is also exceptionally incredible for me
mm-hmm.
in practice. But the other thing that's really coming up today is my experience of like when I'm in the queue,
uh-huh.
that and I've learned this on the calls on the phone, but that if you have something to say, the whole conversation is for me.
Yes,
totally.
Yeah, so that experience of being in the queue and the whole conversation is for me.
Not being separate.
Right? Not being separate.
But I had one other thing, but first, I've been watching the tadpoles.
Uh-huh.
This life thing.
Yeah.
I've never
watched
it. It's like, what? You're not thinking. It's like I keep going, what are you thinking? You have little legs. And I saw one yesterday with his mouth up at the surface, like he was getting air. I was like, really? So then I get into this, it's like, no, you're not thinking. It doesn't matter. You're just being.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's mm-hmm. just been a huge
yeah, exactly. Now, should I go to the surface now?
Yeah,
a little later.
No, not really.
No.
So, great.
Yeah.
Like the flowers, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a great model for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the big thing I've been on is the whole time I've been here, I think, is being with,
mm-hmm.
Which involves everything, acceptance. And yesterday, life set up a perfect little place. What had many times, but I saw one yesterday, and it brought up this place of, and I heard some words, come in, and it brought up a place I've been looking at that I feel chest and throat,
mm-hmm.
and I moved through in this beautiful way what was coming in the situation,
mm-hmm. And what came in next was adequacy.
Uh-huh.
How important that was.
Oh, so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I recorded about it, it felt, it was the same place. I was very thankful. It was like, so maybe when I feel this, you know, there's not always I'm working with not putting a story into it. So if there's not a story with it, you know, this time if something came up. But a lot of times it just happens before I see, it's just there. The emotion is there before I see.
Did you say the emotion is there before you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before I see
So you're practicing when these sensations come up, not attaching a meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, something had come up and it created it, but sometimes it doesn't go in that.
So, yes, and when I'm practicing, it's just being with it without a story.
Uh-huh. Just being with it without a story.
Yeah, and so then, as a little bit later, as I recorded about it, it was the opening of the adequacy was the exact same part of my body that the part I've been don't want to happen. You know, oh no, this is not this again. I don't want to feel this emotion. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it was like, wow! Mm-hmm. I saw that. I stuck with it, and then there's an opening afterwards. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just trying to open.
Yeah,
and that's what that feeling is.
Right, right. That it gets attached to this other meaning.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, the way you're describing it, we almost get afraid of it. Right?
Exactly.
And so, but instead of just staying with it and then getting to experience the adequacy of that, wow.
Yeah, and
maybe it just wants to open.
It was. And it was, and so I saw, we were looking at it in our assignment, we were looking at how things feel in the body. Darn, this is exactly the same location in my body that I feel part of me.
Wow.
Exactly. So I'm really looking forward to watching and seeing what happens next. I mean, it's a little, this contraction and expansion.
But again, if all of it is part of that, then we don't have to try to avoid the contraction and seek the expansion, right? That it brings out that curiosity I project you're talking about. Right?
It's kind of a place of, oh boy, you know, if I get through this and I get the expansion. But, you know, that's another story. But curiosity, that's good.
Exactly. And if we add that piece to it, and I wonder how the contraction happens, and and then how does it move from one to the other? And
that's right. It takes it out of the story of the fear and the dread and the something's wrong.
It's so good.
I can't believe the synchronicity that we are talking about the aging and this stuff, because it's a big thing I'm looking at. Because this year I'm turning 40, and actually being here is my gift to myself for my 40th birthday. This part and the second part, because I'm splitting the 3 months, say, in two parts.
Yeah.
And the image of the Russian guy with the Tsar, the torso image, really resonated, because I have this idea of what society thinks that you should be doing when you're 40.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess at any age, but I never felt it until last year. Like, I turned 39 in November, and boom!
Oh,
and I was all the pictures of the Tsar. And one thing I'm looking at around us that I don't have clear idea around, but I'm just thinking about it in my mind, because is the question of children, like having them or not, no?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm seriously thinking about freezing my eggs. Because I had my first boyfriend at 38, two years ago, and I consider myself a late bloomer. So I truly don't wanna. I would never wanna have kids tomorrow, you know, because I'm kind of just understanding how these things work, you know. And I really don't know though what is the bamboozle from the south and the big picture, like you are a woman, therefore you should have them, and if you don't want to have them now, you surely will want to have them at some point. So do this, you know. And what part is the desire look? I don't know. I mean, I've changed so much in the last 5 years, so it might be that I start having a maternal instinct at 45. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I don't know which of the two things it is, but it's so great that we are talking about this thing. But seeing that at every age, I think this is a problem of 40, but now it's at every age
there's something. It's like we were looking at with June. There's something we can be tortured about.
Exactly. At every age, to do it.
And that big question that I think you're looking at, and we all look at, which is that place where, you know, I think certainly everyone in this room would say, "Gosh, what I really want is to be guided by life and to do the, you know, all of that." And it's hard to know, right? We're in that workshop of, gosh, okay, is this really kind of a sense of, well, I don't really know right now, so I'm going to keep that door open for myself by doing this thing? Or is it just this idea that has been given to me that because I'm a woman, we don't really know, right? That just takes us to that place of just really up the motivation to pay attention
exactly.
and to be here.
And something that fills me with joy, though, all the time, is how I adore my life and how fantastic it is to be a single woman of 40. Because I can travel, I can spend my money with my mom. I couldn't be here. It's like a blissful life. And it's not like, because that conditioning would try to say, "Oh, you're saying this because since you're missing out on the other part." But really, no, it's pure bliss.
Yes, exactly. So that's that same place. We get to actually live in receiving what we have instead of the story of what I want. Yeah. Thank you. Matt, we have a few minutes.
It's like seeing so much here, the thing that I'm really seeing or practicing or just feel expanded awareness of is that just about, well, not always, but there's almost always one of two stories running. And depending on whatever experience of enjoyment I'm having. Uh-huh. If it falls below a certain level, then the story is, if I can just get through this. This is a moment to be endured.
Just get through it. Get back to the enjoyment.
I've got to endure this as soon as the working meditation is over. And it's funny here, especially. It's a funny voice. Because there's nothing here that really accepts ego. It's like, so clearly this silly story.
You're gonna get through this and then what? Go to the movies? Or?
So not to say the movies isn't good, because the real period usually does not have that story.
But it's a good point. The food is good. It truly is good. Yeah. It's not ice cream sundaes. It's not potato chips.
Those things that ego would set up, it's like, oh, if you could just have that.
But
the story is still running, regardless. And it'll even be like when you're done cutting these cucumbers. I don't know what's after that. Emptying outhouses, whatever, it's funny that story is so believed. But it is.
Through our whole lives. I mean, it's kind of that place we talk about, like, as soon as this is over, then I'll be dead.
And you know, I see it like in little tasks. I see it with my stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Just get through it.
Yeah.
Just kind of, oh, yeah. Okay, just keep breathing.
Just get through the thing that I chose to come here to do. And just get back to the life that I love.
The joyful, free life that I want to have.
Yeah.
And of course, as soon as I'm not here,
yeah,
then I'll be present
exactly.
to all the amazing things that we're here for.
Yeah, exactly.
And so either that track is running, like, endure.
Yeah.
Get through this.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Yeah, like it's so bad.
Yeah.
And it's either that or some threshold of enjoyment is crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm eating a meal and
mm-hmm.
I go, this is nice food.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, you know what's coming.
It's not going to last.
You know. And then it's all just like, well, I could enjoy this, but 10 minutes.
We have us coming.
Washing dishes. As if that's so bad, but it's all believed and it's all not here.
Yeah.
Either way, and when it really wants to get cruel, it's bringing in the past of like, boy, you could be enjoying this if you hadn't. Blah, blah, blah. That's impossible to change.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing about all that is that, one, I never know what the next experience is going to be.
That's right.
It may be better or more enjoyable or happier or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may not. It's like my song in that How You Do Anything exercise, the title, the made-up title of my life was, well, that was unexpected. It's like, we never know. So, what's come to me and all of that, just seeing it like over and over and over, and particularly with some things where it like runs deep, where it's like, once you have this conversation with this person, then you can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation is unlikely to ever occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it does, we know it's not.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that came through from the mentor was, this is the moment of joy for you.
Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
And if you're ever going to experience joy, it's going to be now.
Yes.
And whatever's here in this moment may not necessarily be joy. Yes. It may be pain or grief or whatever. But this is the only opportunity for you.
Yes. And if we go back to what Elmer was pointing at, when we cultivate the ability to truly be with it, and have that sense of adequacy to it, as that was the word we used in that conversation, might there be a joy in that?
Yeah, right. In just the awareness.
In just the awareness of it. In actually getting to have my life in this moment, in this moment, in this moment. And as you say, you know, yes, you know, some things are, quote, peak experiences, and I love it, and it's so much fun, and other things are going to be painful and difficult and all of it. But is it really that we're seeking the, quote, good stuff in a dualistic way? Or is it that what we want is to be present to all of it?
Yeah. Well, and by being present to all of it, there's the opportunity.
Yes.
Right, for when the love is there.
Yes.
And you feel you're in
exactly.
the unconditional, right? And so...
Yes.
It's, I think, for me, what I've been... That just keeps, like, coming in for
yeah.
decades now.
Yeah.
This is the opportunity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's right here.
Yes.
And if you want to experience that chocolate ice cream or just a good meal or whatever it is,
yep.
the best way you can feel joy there is to feel joy here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So practice being here so you're there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been, like, really, really wonderful to start to get. I still feel like there's a process happening of getting disidentified
uh-huh.
from that belief of
yes.
like, no, it'll be better later.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because it's a process. It's literally a practice.
Yeah.
You've seen it so clearly. You know, you've taken that shot. You made the shot. And now you practice it.
Yeah.
And are you going to make it every time? No. But if our relationship with it is, I love the practice of it, then it's okay that we don't make it every time.
Yeah. And there's been an opening As I get more and more stepped out of some of that, there's an opening to, okay, well, the last 10 minutes you were enduring sweet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I'm here.
Yeah. And even that, you know, the last 10 minutes you were enduring sweeping. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Right.
Right? Because what's saying that? What? Why do we need to even have that conversation?
Yeah.
Here
I am.
Here I am. I mean, it's the place that Sherry was talking about in that discussion of meditation in the retreat, where, you know, oh, I realize I've been off. Oh, now that I realize I've been off, I can come back here. And she was saying, and that little interesting place of what had me come back here, you know?
Well, I think, you know, I've been looking at that. And I don't know if this is true on a really small scale. What I see on a big scale is it's the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of what's driving this, like, no more of this conversation is that there's a human that has just been lambasted. And, like, the compassion for him is just like, no,
so huge.
We're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to buy into it anymore.
Yeah. So it's that compassion that brings us back. No, we're not going there. We're not letting him live in that place. We're bringing him right back here. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.